Hey everybody, this episode of the Press Row Podcast is brought to you by Out of the Park Baseball 17 and Franchise Hockey Manager 3, both made by Out of the Park Developments. Out of the Park Baseball 17 for the PC and the Mac was voted, actually not voted, but it just flat out won the Metacritic PC Game of the Year based upon an aggregation of all of the different review websites that Metacritic looks at. That's right, the PC Game of the Year, not Sports Game of the Year, Game of the Year. That's Out of the Park Baseball 17. The Metacritic PC Game of the Year, available now for your PC or for your Mac. And Franchise Hockey Manager 3, the only hockey strategy sim that is licensed by the NHL. In fact, it's the only hockey game on the PC at all that's licensed by the NHL. We are incredibly proud of Franchise Hockey Manager 3. We are incredibly proud of Out of the Park Baseball 17. Find out today what everybody's talking about. That is Out of the Park Baseball 17, the Metacritic PC Game of the Year. Franchise Hockey Manager 3, the only PC strategy game licensed by the NHL. Just go to ootpdevelopments.com or go to Steam today. Thanks, everybody, and enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Press Row Podcast. You know, we've got almost 2 months until the next big sports game releases, but there's something even closer that's just around the corner that's a huge deal, and that's new hardware. It's the Nintendo Switch, and Nintendo held their special reveal event where they went over many of the details on the system and the games that are coming to the system. So I've got with me Rich Grisham and TJ Lowerman. We're going to talk about the news and our reaction. So let's just get right into it. Nintendo Switch is going to release on March 3rd for $300. It's also going to have paid online after an initial free period. If you want the Pro Controller, that's going to cost you more. Reaction, Rich, to the price. Do you think this comes in at a reasonable level here for what you're getting?
100%. $299 for a brand new console that does a lot of things from a company that produces excellent hardware. I think it's a great price. It's comparable to other consoles, which are very likely more powerful and offer more games and services, but it's also not more expensive than them. And the fact that it's not less expensive than them leads me to feel good about just the overall quality of the machine. So as far as I'm concerned, that's a great price.
TJ, your thoughts?
I was hoping for $250. I can understand $300. I think it's gonna be tough at $300, knowing that you can look for deals and get Xboxes and PS4s for like $229, stuff
cheaper,
like that.
Cheaper. Yeah, bundled with games, yeah.
Also, breaking news, they just updated some of the other stuff. The Pro Controller is going to be $69.99.
Oh,
a pair of Joy-Cons, $79.99.
For the inevitable lost Joy-Cons, because they will be lost all the time.
No, yeah. Rich, for the lost one, you can buy just one Joy-Con on its own for $49.99. Charging grip is $29.99. Another dock is $89.99, and you can get a set of two Joy-Con wheels for $14.99.
So all this is just continues to be evidence of the fact that this is exactly what you would expect, right? Video games are and have always been expensive, and this is not different. This doesn't feel more expensive. Those controllers are pricey, but not radically pricey. And, video gaming, especially getting in on launch, buying and playing video games is expensive. So, you know, people may or may not have been expecting it to be less, or may expect the controllers to be less or whatever. So that seems about right to me. You know, if you want to play, you got to pay. That's the world that we have always lived in with video games, if you want to be playing new stuff.
Right. So I feel that it's a little high. Not that it's going to matter because it's going to sell out and Nintendo's going to restrict quantity of consoles available. Everybody's going to want one. No one's going to be able to get it. Unfortunately, that's probably what's going to happen. But compared to what you would get with the Xbox One and PS4, compared to the graphics not being up to their level, if you were looking at which system should I buy, if you had none of them, you would probably, unless you were really big on the mobility aspect, the Xbox One and the PS4 seems like a much better deal.
Well, you got to remember, too, Nintendo is much more family-friendly than right. the other consoles, and that weighs in as well, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think, you know, I don't know what any of the figures are. I don't know what percentage of families or of people who have the purchasing power to purchase a newish video game console that haven't, that are waiting for Nintendo. But as, you know, as a parent, I could certainly see an appeal as in getting a Nintendo console that is priced roughly the same as other consoles. If I know, and there are educated consumers, there are those who don't, who aren't, knowing that I can get Nintendo quality games, Mario, Zelda, you know, and the various other games and characters that they're known for that are not available on other consoles, and those other consoles cater to a much rougher crowd than the Nintendo crowd.
Yeah, and I think the big question mark is going to be, does that crowd pay for online? Because this is the first time Nintendo's going to do that. Force you to pay if you want to play online, and the online services for Nintendo have never been great. The one good thing about them was that you didn't have to pay for them. Do you think, Rich, that's going to be a barrier? Because especially if we're looking at sports games where you need to get past that to even play the majority of their features.
I think it's the world that we live in. It costs a lot of money to run online infrastructure. It costs a lot of money to have the hardware, to have the manpower, to power modern multiplayer online experiences. And I have no problem Nintendo asking for people to pay for it. And if I want to do it, I have no problem paying for it. It's just, there's no getting around it. The days of free online are gone and never coming back. It just costs too much, and there's too much at stake to not charge people for it. So I don't know what it'll cost. I have to believe it will be at or around the same price as a PS Plus and as a Xbox Live Gold or whatever that's called. And I have to assume that there will be some sort of 1 to 2 games a month that you get to you know, play a la PS Plus and Games with Gold. It's what I expected, and what, as a consumer, I have no problem paying. And from a Nintendo perspective, I think is a perfectly reasonable, perfectly reasonable to ask of everyone.
Now, TJ, do you already pay for Xbox Live and PlayStation Plus?
Yeah, and I have not had my Xbox on in like 3 months, so.
Okay, so how would you feel about paying for another online service?
I don't like the idea a whole lot.
Yeah.
Subscribers will get to download and play a Nintendo Entertainment System or Super Nintendo Entertainment System game with newly added online gameplay for free for a month. Does that mean, like, each month you get to play one game, and then next month you don't get that game anymore?
Well, no, it sounds like Games with Gold or PS Plus. Every month a couple games come out, and then they're yours as long as you remain a subscriber to the service. That's how I interpret that, not that after a month they take it away from you. Although, I wouldn't be shocked if that were the case.
Well, that's it. You play for free for a month, so it almost does kind of sound like that.
Still a lot of question marks, but the money aspect of this, I mean, again, I think for the people who are excited for it, they're going to pay it. But some of these things are stumbling blocks, especially when you're talking about a younger demographic that's going to play primarily some of these games.
You know, you say a couple things there, Brian. Number one, you just assume that it'll be sold out everywhere and that you won't be able to get it, and then everybody will be happy to pay the $299 when it launches. I expect that too, but I don't think it's a given. But the pricing.
Well, when's the last time you could? I mean, you could get it on launch day, but that
day
was
day two, day three at the
that
latest.
That was because there legitimately people were confused and thought, why am I going to buy this add-on to the Wii? Right. This is something that's totally. It's far more appealing. Its reach is far more appealing because Nintendo already has the handheld market locked. You know, that's what they're known for. For many consumers now is that mobility, and this offers the flexibility of playing at home or playing on the move. And I think that's going to be it's going to make it a lot more desirable, at least at launch.
Right. No, I totally agree. And I think it will be sold out at launch and will be difficult to get, a la the NES Classic, at least when it hits in the early days after that. However, I think the price and not only of the console at launch, but of the online service is a bigger concern down the line for them. Month two, month three, month four, month five. You know, after the initial launch day buzz wears off, will the non-day one people buy the game, buy the console, and the games at the prices that they're asking for? That's much more interesting to me, because my assumption is the same as yours, that at least at launch it will be sold out. How long will it be sold out will be fascinating to watch. Yep.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about its capabilities. You can play it on your TV at home. You can play it on, they call it tabletop mode because it has a little stand on the back. And then you can play it handheld, holding it in your hands. Again, that flexibility is big for this system. That's what it's all about. The Joy-Cons that you can remove, they have rumble and motion. There's a screenshot button on the controls, which is, it's great. Something we love about the PS4. You'll also eventually be able to capture video. And one area of concern might be its battery life. They say it'll be 2.5 to 6.5 hours, depending on games. So I think it's safe to assume it's probably closer to the 2.5 that you'll probably get on a day-to-day basis. And that's not enough to make it through a plane flight or many plane flights. So that could be a concern depending on how often you're able to charge it or dock it. But and TJ, I think you have some other specs on it that they released after the event, things like the hard drive and that nature.
Yeah, they said one example of the battery life is The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild can be played for roughly 3 hours on a single charge.
Mm-hmm.
The internal memory that you're going to get is 32 gigs, a portion of which is reserved for the system, but users can...
Well, I'll tell you, let's hope that NBA 2K isn't a 50-gig game. Like it is on PS4 and Xbox One.
Yeah. But users can easily expand storage using micro SDXC cards.
Okay.
And the screen is a 6.2-inch multi-touch capacitive touchscreen and does 1280 by 720.
Okay. A lot of that sounds good, especially that it's not going to be a proprietary SD card or expansion card like the Vita, which is probably the main reason I never bought a Vita, because I didn't want to waste my money buying Sony's stupid storage cards that were almost as expensive as the system after a while.
I was looking like a couple nights ago, because I was playing around with my Vita, and I was like, oh, I wonder if they ever actually made like a big card. I still think like 64 gigs is the biggest you can get here.
Oh, yeah, that's not great.
It's still like $100 or something. I realized I turned my Vita on more just to download or to attempt to download the free game than deal with trying to figure out how to get the game onto the hard drive more than I actually play the Vita.
Okay, so SDXC card looks like 64 gig card on Amazon you can get for $20. I don't know how big these go.
256 for 70.
Yeah, 256 gig card for $89. So I guess it depends on how many games you have and stuff. But if you a 64 gig card for $25 will probably cover you for a couple games, unless, like I said, NBA 2K type of game remains 50 gigs. Hopefully they try to compress it more for the system, considering that. But at least I think reasonable cost. But again, it's another thing you're tacking on to the initial price, Rich, of the system.
I mean, I'll say it again. Playing video games is expensive. Playing video games on brand new machines is expensive. If you're somebody who wants to get in on the ground level, you're going to have to pay. That's just the way it's always been. Nintendo is actually probably the company that holds their prices high for the longest too. They're not big now. There have been times in their past when they have, but they're not big on discounting. And most of their games and their hardware maintains their price for a long time. I think the 3DS, they had a price cut a few months into its life because it really was doing poorly, and that dramatically helped people pick it up. But you know, it's expensive. There's just no getting around it. And if you're not you, Brian, if you complain about a video gaming being expensive or something being too much money, then you kind of don't get it. It's always been something for people that have discretionary income.
You would have to admit, you look at pricing decisions can determine how well a product does.
Of course.
If you look at the Vita, again, the PlayStation that cost... 3
launch.
I was getting to that, TJ, exactly. The PS3 launch, everybody expected PlayStation to dominate that generation, and they sunk themselves and let Microsoft come in and steal it because of the $500, $600 price of the system at launch. And Vita, again, with the proprietary memory cards and everything, priced a lot of people out of it. Now, Nintendo is... immune somewhat to that type of thing because of their strong brand, but still, I mean, that could hamper it, whether short term or long term.
Well, I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying I believe that it's priced best to compete. What I am saying is that I'm not surprised, and that it reflects a long-time trend of brand new video game hardware being expensive. Most new console launches are very expensive. Very few of them launch at a low price. And I'm talking about not only systems that were successful, but systems that were failures. You know, you go back through history, there have been a lot of expensive systems that have launched and bombed. You think about like 3DOs and stuff like that, you know, going back through time. So, you know, I don't think it's an inflated expense. You know, it's not like $400 or $350. It will be very interesting, like I said, for the longer term. It is not a impulse buy for most people by any stretch. And if you're going to invest in the Nintendo Switch as something that you're going to play a lot of games on, you're going to have to pay a pretty penny to do that. And it's a gamble from that perspective. It's not a dramatic one, but you know, it's definitely going to be, it's going to be fascinating to see how many people buy it and or don't buy it.
Hey everybody, we're going to take just a moment here to thank our sponsors of this week's show, Blue Apron. I am so excited that Blue Apron is a sponsor because I am a customer of Blue Apron. I was a customer before they sponsored this show, and I'm a customer because they're really good. So here's what Blue Apron does. It's just brilliant. They deliver a set of meals to your door that are not prepared meals, but they give you everything that you need to cook the meal down to the precise amount of each ingredient. They make it easy. They make it fun. It tastes great. There's an incredible range of meals that you get to choose from, and they just do a fantastic job. I cannot recommend it enough. So here's what they do. Really, they have two major impacts, which are great. Not only is the food fantastic, but they have a really positive impact on households because research shows that Blue Apron families that cook together nearly three times more often, and we all know that cooking together as a family builds strong family bonds. You know, my wife and my son and I, it's kind of cool to get in the kitchen. My wife is a cook. I am not, but Blue Apron has made it certainly what it used to be, kind of traumatic to get in there and try to help out. You know, if you're not a cook and you're in the kitchen with someone who is a cook, boy, that can be tough. But using the Blue Apron process, it's actually the opposite way. And my son, who's 9, has had a blast helping us out with it. So that's cool. Plus, They also have a positive impact on the community. Their seafood is sourced sustainably under standards developed in partnership with the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch. Their beef is raised humanely. Their chickens are free range. Their pork is raised naturally. They have regenerative farming practices used for their produce. And Blue Apron can be delivered to 99% of the continental U.S. and 99.5% of food deserts. So, you know, because Blue Apron ships the exact amount of each ingredient required for a recipe, they're also reducing food waste. Now, that's all great, but the food also is terrific. For example, check out some of the meals that are available in January. You can get seared pork chops with farro and cranberry chutney. You can get spaghetti squash and marinara with mushrooms and garlic knots. You get some spicy shrimp and Korean rice cakes with cabbage and furikake. I mean, this is good stuff. It tastes great, and it's fun to put together. And by the way, you're not going to be in the kitchen for an hour and a half putting all this stuff together. It's really well put together. They make it easy to understand what to do. It's like a half an hour, top to bottom, most of the time. You know, at least it has been for us. And it's, again, they give you the exact amount of each ingredient for the recipe. So even better than all of that is that you can help support the Press Row podcast, one of your favorite shows. If you go to blueapron.com/pressrow, not only will you be able to help us out by doing that, but you get your first 3 meals for free with free shipping. You cannot beat that. 3 meals for free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/pressrow. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/pressrow. Help yourself and help the Press Row podcast and have a little fun cooking some great food. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
All right.
I have 2 more hardware things. It's fully wireless, so that dock doesn't have an Ethernet port or anything, so you're going to be all Wi-Fi all the time, which I guess makes sense because you might be playing an online game on the TV and want to pick it up and just go.
Yeah, I mean, it would be nice to have a wired option. I have my PlayStation 4 wired and my Xbox One not wired, but I could wire the Xbox One. It would be nice to have the ability to hardwire it, but I understand completely why they would not go that route.
Yeah, and they didn't say the size of the battery, but they said you can charge it with like a USB power brick and stuff. So I figure most of the world has those. So maybe the battery life isn't going to be that big of an issue, but
it'll still be an issue. I mean, my 3DS doesn't last tremendously long. I think it lasts longer than that. I typically don't play it for significant hours on end, so I don't even know. But that doesn't feel great. Like, you know, I'm getting on a bunch of planes over the next month or two, and, you know, I mean, 3 hours is not bad. That's a pretty decent chunk of gaming, but that's from being 100% charged once you sit down on the flight to zero. So, yeah, it's not terrible, but it's certainly not optimal, at least from my perspective, either, that battery life. Because it is, as you mentioned, Brian, it's definitely a home console, but it's also a mobile console. And these things are, you know, I was kind of interested in, you know, when they showed up to 8 connected, just, you know, local wireless connections for multiplayer. You get, you know, a couple, 2 or 3 people, and I rarely do in real life know anybody with a handheld video game system. It just doesn't exist in a lot of the world that I'm in. But that opens up some interesting situations. And if some games are released that feature that in a way that's fun, that's sort of another interesting way that it can be played as well.
All right. So now they made a big deal out of what you can do with the Joy-Cons, which are the pieces that come off of the controller, how you can use them separately. How they have rumble and how they have motion, and they did a lot with motion, which I'm not sure what makes them think people want motion controls like that anymore.
There's a sweet cow milk and mini game in there, so I'm pretty excited for that.
Well, I guess the one thing, and I am by no means a fan of motion control gaming by any stretch, but at least the thing that I believe that they said or didn't say, but we can gather from what they didn't say, is that there's no like sensor bar that has to get plugged in and mounted on top of your TV or anything like that. Any motion control is basically native to the controller. So there's not like that additional little bit of tech that you got to string up somewhere. So at least that's good. But yeah, I'm not a motion control gaming fan and have never been.
Yeah, and that's it just surprised me that they focused so much on that. But TJ, did you see anything out of the way they demonstrated the system that got you more excited for it, or was it just basically what you expected?
Pretty much what I expected, though. Some of the stuff that you can do, some of the games they were talking about that you can play, like where you don't really need to look at the screen, seemed kind of cool. I remember they were doing a bunch of stuff like that with the PS Move, like way back in the day, where like you would have like six people standing around and you have to get someone to flinch and they would lose and stuff like that. That stuff looks cool, but that's all stuff that you want to be playing with like multiple people. And in my life, I don't have multiple people to play games with, so I don't know if that's really going to do anything for me.
I'm sorry to hear that, TJ.
Who am I going to play games with? 13-month-old? He's not going to play. And my wife's going to be taking care of him while I'm playing. So, I mean, what am I doing? And plus, with an extra set of Joy-Cons being $80, nobody's going to be player two. I still don't have a second controller for my Xbox.
Yeah, I don't either, actually.
I'm on my third PlayStation controller, though, so everything's good on that front.
All right, so let's talk games, because ultimately, whether the system turns out to be worth it or not is going to be down to the games. Sports game-wise, there was a little bit on that. We're going to get a FIFA, quote-unquote, later this year. They didn't label it as FIFA 17 or even FIFA 18. So that's something that could signal a direction they're going with it, but not necessarily. It may end up being FIFA 18. There was also a flash on the screen of an NBA 2K18 logo. So sports game wise, doesn't look like there's going to be anything for launch or shortly after launch. We're probably looking at later in summer or fall. There was also a new IP called Arms, which is a kind of a cartoony arcade boxing-like game where you have extendable arms and it's all motion-controlled, which is the part that unnerved me a little bit. That will be releasing in spring, so it doesn't look like that's launch either, but that one will be shortly after. They also got to other games like Mario, which won't be out until holiday 2017, or you know, maybe lucky if it actually hits that target. Zelda, which seems to be probably the only compelling launch game. They really didn't show off anything for launch other than making a big deal out of Zelda. And they said there's 80 games in development. Rich, what stood out to you games-wise for the Switch?
I mean, other than the obvious FIFA, there wasn't anything that I saw that jumped out at me that said, I got to have that. I mean, that doesn't mean I'm not going to get this console as soon as I can. But nothing jumped out at me. But that's okay. I'm not really concerned about that. I mean, I play, well, my son especially plays Super Mario Maker every day on the Wii U. That's a big thing that we play. I play Fire Emblem on my 3DS on a regular basis. They didn't have either of those games at launch, and that's okay. But I'm also not going to say that, oh, I'm particularly excited about any one of those games that got announced. I was frankly disappointed with most of the games that got announced, but I'm fine with that because this is Nintendo. It's not my PlayStation 4. It's not my Xbox One. I've got enough great stuff for that. I'm just looking for what interesting Nintendo-specific stuff I can get out of this thing.
TJ, what did you think of the games lineup or any specific game that looks intriguing to you, or are there any at all?
Mario looks really intriguing. The holiday 2017 release date does not excite me at all for that. A lot of people going into this were really concerned about the power of the system, and I feel like that's something we've never really had to worry about with Nintendo's games, because I feel like they could give you a piece of paper to play video games on, and it would still look beautiful. Like, just watching the Splatoon videos, watching Mario and Zelda, they'll look beautiful. Doesn't matter the power of the console. Those games just look amazing for what they are. But yeah, I'm worried about all the release dates, and the only real thing coming up being Zelda, and I feel like I can wait on Zelda, and I'll wait till Mario, and I'm terrified that if I wait till Mario that the writing might already be on the wall for this console by the time we get there. I kind of wish they would have shown a little bit of FIFA, but I mean, that's not
really?
going to be out for a couple months. I just want to know what it looks like.
Are you going to be playing FIFA on the Switch, TJ?
Maybe.
This is an interesting discussion to see where would you play the game, or would you buy it for multiple systems? And if you're doing that, are you actually spending money in Ultimate Team on multiple systems? Because
initially, if you told me Madden was coming out on this and it's going to have full Ultimate Team, I would probably switch to playing Ultimate Team on the Switch, mainly because I don't really play a lot online in Ultimate Team. I play the solos against the computer most of the time.
Yeah.
And right now I can do that on my PlayStation, and then I can go away and then I can play Ultimate Team on like my phone, but that doesn't tie back to that at all. But being able to take my Madden Ultimate Team from my TV at home to, I go to work and then I want to go play a couple solos at lunch and then come back and play it on my console when I get home at night, I think that would be amazing. I mean, okay. I always wanted I'm that with you. The show. Well, we did that with the show with Road to the Show and Franchise Mode. You could go, you could play your game at home, put your save to the cloud and bring it over there and go keep playing.
Yeah.
I would really do that with Madden if that was an option.
Yeah, I believe you. I think my perspective is the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One sports games are always going to be superior to anything on the Switch from a gameplay and a visual perspective. What I'm looking for personally from the Switch when it comes to sports games is something different and unique that I can't get. But I get where you're coming from, TJ, but I'm also not an Ultimate Team player. And I don't know that I would have the same compulsion to take my franchise on the road, so to speak, but maybe I would, because like I'm telling you, you guys know I love Pro Evolution, and I'm just in near the end of my second full year with Everton, and it would be nice to at the office sit down and over lunch kick back and play a couple of games. So for me personally, and I'm not saying I wouldn't buy both, right? If there's a really compelling version of FIFA that I want to sort of cart around with me everywhere as well as play FIFA on the PlayStation 4, I could see doing that. But I kind of am looking and thinking that you'll see more kinds of experiences that don't rely nearly as much on this, on the processing power, but more on either sort of a combination of cloud-based stuff and what's locally, or you know, Mario Golf and Mario Olympic Games and those kind of things. So that's what I'm saying. I was kind of actually surprised that there wasn't, to me, like a game like Rocket League is perfect for the Switch, and I was a little, I guess I'm not saying surprised, but I would not have been surprised had Rocket League been announced as one of the games that would be on the Switch, because that seems to me tailor-made to the Switch.
Yeah, and that's really why I wanted to see what FIFA looked like, because I wonder if they're going to try to go for the super clean, realistic look that they're going for with the console games, or if they would try to change it up and go something a little more, I don't want to say cartoony, because I feel like that's like belittling it, but you know, like how like a NBA Street looked or and stuff like that.
I don't think they would do that, because then it'd be a completely different art design. If anything, I think you would just see something that was basically, and I'm not a graphic artist, but something, a down-resed version is what I expect to see, as opposed to something that, although they did say custom built. He specifically said the word custom when they talked about FIFA for the Switch.
Yeah, and I feel like that look would play way better on the Switch than trying to go full simulation looking like the real thing.
Well, then you get back into the Nintendo Wii, which is what they tried to do. Make the game appeal to a younger audience, gave it a more cartoony look, gave it features that were more arcade-based or simple, and that didn't catch on.
But I think that was more a problem with the motion controls. They just motion controls only felt good for a couple of experiences, and they didn't feel good, at least for me, for most other experiences. I think if you've got a slightly down-resed or somewhat, you know, an 80% power version of a legit FIFA, legit NBA 2K, and the ability to bring it around with you wherever you go, that would be of pretty significant appeal, I think, to a bunch of people, especially kids. You know, there's a lot of kids my son's age. You know, my son is 9. There's a lot of kids his age that, you know, we are on the basketball team in rec. You know, these kids love sports and they love sports video games, and they would absolutely, you know, they're not so discerning as to be concerned whether something is showing it, you know, 1080p versus 720 or whatever. Like, they don't care about that kind of stuff.
Let me ask you this, Rich. Do you think like EA said, FIFA is going to be custom built. Do you think that these sports games are going to try and just kind of port over and give you the same experience, which is easier for them, certainly? Or are they going to feel pressured to take advantage of all these various unique features? And that could be why we only get a FIFA and NBA 2K as opposed to games like an NHL or even a Madden that we don't know whether the Switch is going to have. I wonder if that's going, you know, what would be the better route to go, doing something unique, but potentially limiting yourselves, or porting over the games and just making it another next gen sports game just on a different system?
If I were making the decision, it's a no brainer. You take your PlayStation 4 / Xbox One, just make it work as it is, whatever you got to do, using a term that actually doesn't exist, down-res the visuals, mm-hmm. you know, loosen up the graphics a little bit, you know, do whatever you got to do just to take the game, everything that you've made, and just make it work on the Nintendo Switch, because you have no idea whether it's going to be successful. You have no idea how many copies of the game you're going to sell. We do know that the Wii U launched with several EA Sports games, and they never saw another version of them. Mm-hmm. And I hope they don't feel pressure to do anything unique, because I think that would be extremely difficult to justify, and would be a lot easier to justify not doing it again, as opposed to, you know, taking an outsourcing group every year and having them port the Xbox One / PS4 version to the Wii U. And again, I mean, I TJ, you brought up such a great point, and I'm surprised that I didn't really consider it. But again, like, the more I think about it, if I've got a really compelling experience that I can bring around with me from a sports perspective, man, again, if they ever put Pro Evo and it worked nearly as well on this thing as it does on my PS4, I would have a lot of problems, because I would just play that everywhere. So I hope they just port the games over, because that to me gives them by far the best chance for success, because you want to be developing as much as you possible a single kind of a product, because that just lets you scale it.
Would you be more likely to buy a FIFA on the Switch if it was the same game or something radically different?
I think at least for the majority of it, I would want it to be the same game. Though there was some stuff like that FIFA added into the Vita version with like the tap on the screen to place your shot and stuff. Like, small things can go a long way, but if you try to make it all touch controls and crazy moving your hands and stuff, I think that's going to really, really hurt the gameplay experience.
TJ, that's another great point. When playing FIFA on the Vita, which is by far the sports game that I played the most on the Vita, I played it just like every other FIFA, except when I got near the goal, I would tap on the back of the Vita to right in the spot where I wanted to shoot, and it worked beautifully. That's a great point, TJ.
Yeah, my main concern with sports games going on to this is that they've been burnt by the Wii U and also the Wii, and I guess the 3DS too, right? They only put out one Madden there.
Yeah. That
they are not going to put the time into doing this stuff, and you're going to see essentially $60 for Ultimate Team and probably not even franchise mode, or at least not an online franchise mode. I would expect them to just say, hey, let's go do the least we can do. Just put Mutt on the thing. If it sells, great. We can make some money through DLC. And if there's a lot of sales, maybe we'll start putting in all this other stuff. Kind of like how they did with NHL when they came to the new generation. They put out Ultimate Team and a little bit more, but not a whole ton. And when they saw sales, they added more stuff in later.
All right. So we talked a little about FIFA, but NBA 2K also did make an appearance. If you blinked, you might have missed it. But at one point, they did flash up a logo for NBA 2K18 during part, kind of a trailer portion of the presentation. So we know that NBA 2K18 is coming. Again, it's going to be a wait. That would be September or October, most likely. So, okay. But we know nothing about it. We don't know, like with FIFA, they said it was custom built. We don't know if this is a custom built NBA 2K or if they're just porting it over.
That's all right. It's coming. They put NBA 2K, the logo, right there on the screen. Mm-hmm. And obviously NBA 2K was part of the launch video or the announcement video.
Yeah.
So I'm okay not knowing. I mean, you know, this is one of the funny things about people, or a lot of people, you know, involved in the games world. Everyone's always talking about newest, latest, best, newest, latest, best, newest, latest, best. You know, meanwhile, there's a million things that we could be playing now that are fantastic, and everyone's always talking about what's coming up, which is fine. I'm not knocking it, but my point is, I'm fine waiting. I'm fine not knowing. You know, the games aren't done. There's no way these games are finished 3, 4, 5, 6 months out from launch or more. So I'm sure it's really difficult to build on new hardware. People don't realize it. I didn't realize it until I've just talked to a lot of people who have built stuff for the very first time for Vita and for PlayStation 4 and for all the different consoles that we've seen come out. It's very difficult. So I don't need to know anything. The fact that they're coming is cool. And then when they're ready, I'll check them out. I have confidence that it'll be interesting. That, you know, the launch day games for the Wii U weren't bad. There were some technical issues. I remember there was NBA 2K had some frame rate issues. FIFA was okay. They certainly weren't bad. I expect them to be good. I expect NBA 2K to be good. And again, if I'm, you know, we talked about it probably a couple of months ago. If I'm Nintendo and I could pick two sports games to be in my console, it's FIFA and NBA 2K.
Oh, there's no doubt. Yeah.
Right? I mean, those are the ones that you want. Those have by far the most worldwide appeal. So, you know, if you're going to have a shot with sports games on the Switch, these are the two games that you want. TJ, are you?
Who knows if I'm going to get NBA 2K 18 next year?
But that's my point.
Period. Like,
would you be more inclined to get NBA 2K? Because, you know, one of the things that we were talking about, like Rocket League, one of the reasons I think that I would be more interested potentially in playing Rocket League on the Switch, because I think that the community would be a less hardcore gaming community. I'd probably have a better chance to succeed. TJ, I bet you know, NBA 2K, if you got out there in the world and started playing online, it would be a community that would be a little more forgiving to somebody like you, who's obviously a core gaming fan, but might not, or certainly doesn't have basketball video games as your sort of go-to genre.
Only if they put in some cool moves, some like motion control stuff. Because remember Kobe Bryant coming out? I think it was E3 when the Move launched, NBA 2K. I mean, that looked pretty awesome. So if they had that, maybe. But I don't know. Though they did show like a half a second of FIFA in that same trailer. But I'm pretty sure that
which could have it could have been from any consoles. System. Yeah. We don't know.
Of course.
I don't know. Maybe sure, maybe you could talk me into NBA 2K. But I mean, probably not. Here's the thing. If I was super good at a game, like if I was like an awesome FIFA player, I would get FIFA on the Switch and then just whoop everyone, knowing that they're going to be a more casual class of gamer. think about it like that.
Yep.
Any final thoughts, Rich? Just sum up your. Are you gonna pre-order it?
And well, I tried. Right now tonight, I tried to pre-order through Walmart.com. It was successful, and then about 45 seconds later, I got an email saying that it had been canceled. So, I want it. I want it. I've got a 9-year-old son who video games are a big part of our lives. We as I mentioned, Nintendo is a big part of our lives. Like, we play Super Mario Maker regularly. I play my 3DS regularly. So this is a big deal for us. I want it. There's, you know, but I'm part of the problem. There's no big game. You know, there's no game standing out that's like, oh, I got to get it for that. I just want it because I want it and I love Nintendo. And it's, you know, you don't get hardware launches that often. So I'm absolutely all in. I'll get it as soon as I possibly can. And I can't wait. I love Nintendo and I want this thing.
TJ?
If we get word of a Mario Maker port that will let me play all the created Mario Maker levels from the Wii U version, then I'll be way more excited to buy this because I almost bought a Wii U just for Mario Maker. So if we get that, I'll be extremely interested. Until then, I'll probably wait for Super Mario Odyssey. Wait, when is Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is not till April 2nd. So yeah, definitely not a day one purchase for me. Maybe by the holiday season, as long as they don't delay Mario. But if they do put out Mario Maker, I will probably pick it up right around that time.
I will be shocked, TJ, if Mario Odyssey makes 2017.
Yeah.
Same. Shocked.
Yeah. And I just hope they don't screw up Mario Maker like they did on the 3DS. If they put out like a real version, like on the Wii U, I will be very interested. But I want all those old levels. Don't give me a Mario Maker on the Switch that can't play the Wii U levels, because then what's the point? Those are the levels I want to play. I've seen those. I'm excited. I don't want to wait for people to make new levels.
All right. So yeah, my feelings on the Switch is, yeah, I'm going to pre-order. I've attempted to pre-order twice now, Best Buy and Walmart, and who knows if they'll eventually go through, but I want one. I think it's an intriguing concept. It might be a little overpriced for what you're getting at first, especially when you're adding in potentially a pro controller and then paid online, and then you're going to need an expansion SD card. But, you know, new hardware, like Rich said, rarely comes around, so I'm excited for it. And I'm sure we'll talk more about this as we have additional details.
Yes.
And, you know, we'll get other people involved in the discussion and get more into the sports aspect of it. And we'll do that in future shows. But we wanted to just hop on and give kind of the initial reaction because the news just broke. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We'll be back next week with another episode. Take care.